الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الواحد الأحد، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. All praise is due to Allah. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. All praise is due to Him because He is the Most High, the Most Mighty, the Most Gracious, and the Most Merciful. All praise is due to Allah who sent down this book, the Quran, and did not place within it any crookedness, any deviance. All praise is due to Allah. Blessed is He in whose hand the dominion of the heavens and the earth is, and He has power over everything. The one who created life and death so that He may test which one of you has better deeds. We seek help from Him. We ask Him for His forgiveness. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from the evil of our actions and our intentions and our bad deeds. Anyone who is guided, verily they are guided by Allah. Anyone who is left astray will never be guided, will never find a guide, for Allah wills. And I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except this one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Mighty. And I bear witness that His last and final messenger was Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon his soul. قال تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Allah says in His glorious book, fear Allah, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. Additionally, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, fear Allah and say a just, a kind word. He will forgive you and make right your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet, His Messenger, as a guide, verily he has already won a victory. My dear sisters, my dear brothers, today I would like to talk about a topic that is very dear to me, and I've structured in a way that might make sense to you all. I'd like to talk about what we've come to call community in our sense. I'd like to talk about the state of our local global ummah, al-mujtama, our social ummah. It's a topic that I've devoted a lot of thought to, and any good that comes out of it is from Allah, really. Anything that's bad is opinion and it's from me, so don't take it. The topic of today's khutbah is death of a community. Not death of this community. I'm not trying to insinuate anything. I'm talking in general terms. And at the outset, I'd like to say that if you feel that I'm pointing a finger at you, I'm not. I'm just trying to keep it general. I don't think the khutbah is a place to point fingers at someone. I think it's a degradation of this beautiful post, this mimbar of our blessed messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I will speak about three causes that might contribute to the decay or the death of a community. And I will propose some solutions which I humbly think are which I think are beneficial. I'd like to start off by reading some verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah, in chapter number 7, Al-A'raf, which in English translates as the heights. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين قال فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين قال أنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال إنك من المنظرين قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدحورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين ويا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة فكلا من حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين فوسوس لهما الشيطان ليبدي لهما ما وري عنهما من سوآتهما وقال ما نهاكما ربكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين فدلاهما بغرور فلما ذاق الشجرة بدت لهما سوآتهما وطفقا يقصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة وناداهما ربهما ألم أنهكما عن تلكما الشجرة وأقل لكما إن الشيطان لكما عدو مبين. The translation is as follows. Allah relates to us that He certainly created you, O mankind, and He has given us human form. Then we have said to the angels, prostrate to Adam. And they all did, except for Iblis. He was not of those that prostrated. Allah said, what prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you to prostrate? He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Allah said, descend from paradise, for this is not your place to be arrogant. In paradise, no one can be arrogant. Indeed, you are of the debased. You are the people that are in a very low status right now. Shaitan said, reprieve me, give me a respite, give me some refuge until the day that these people are resurrected, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah granted him his wish. He said, indeed you are the ones that are reprieved. Then Shaitan said, because you have put me in error, I will surely sit and wait for them on your straight path. He will sit and wait for us on our straight path. Then I will come to them from in front of them, from behind them, from on the left, from the right. And you will find most of them to be ungrateful, or you will find very few of them to be grateful to you. Allah said, get out of paradise. You are reproached and you are expelled. Whoever follows you among them, I will put them all in hellfire. And Allah told Adam to dwell in paradise with his wife, Hawa. Do whatever you want, but do not approach this tree. But Satan, as he does to us too, he came and whispered. He whispered to them to make it apparent to them that Allah told them not to eat from this tree. except that you become angels or become immortals. So he was saying that if you eat from this tree, you'll become immortal, you'll become an angel, and that's what Allah doesn't want you to. Eat from this tree, and he swore by Allah, and he said, indeed, I am from among your advisors, I'm a good advisor, I'm giving you good advice. This is shaitan, he's playing them. And we know how the story goes. Adam alayhi salam, he fell through deception, and when they tasted the tree, they were kicked out of paradise. And Allah asked them, he said, did I not forbid you from getting near to the tree and tell you that shaitan is your enemy? I'm not going to repeat it, but I think you understand the steps. He comes to you, he whispers to you, he tells you he's giving you good advice, and then when the time comes, he turns his back away from you. In Surah Qaf, chapter number 50, when it's relating the what happens in the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment rather, the shaitan, the qareen, your personal shaitan that is with everyone, will come and say that I was not the one who told him to do this, he was doing it himself. He's the kind of friend or enemy that doesn't even have your back. He won't even admit that he was the one making you do this. He says, I did not make him transgress, but he himself was in error. So he comes to you, he whispers to you, and he makes you do things, thinking that they're good things, because he says he has good advice. What is the point of all this? Well, the point is, I want you to reflect on our interactions. First, let's talk about how we interact amongst ourselves. We can talk about non-Muslims later, but I think we can't talk to them unless we fix ourselves up first. You know, we have some dirty laundry to take care of, as they say. Is it possible that, you know, brother X or brother Y had a tussle with someone else? Is it possible that it happened because shaitan put the seeds of discord between them? Is it possible that there was nothing to it, but it was just shaitan working his magic? Because that's his duty. Is it possible that a majority of our social ills that plague us, bad things that happen to us, are caused by this sort of short-sightedness, where we can't tune out the whispering of shaitan? We don't know what our gut is telling us, we don't know if it's shaitan. When we can't tell who is whispering to us constantly, we are in trouble, right? We need a way to filter that out. But he tells us constantly, over and over again. He keeps whispering to us. That's his job. Just like you go 9 to 5, you work at a job, you do it well. He does his job 24/7. That's the only difference. He's a hard worker. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, once related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him, once said, do not disdain a good deed. That doesn't matter how small it is. Even if it is meeting your Muslim, fellow Muslim with a cheerful, smiling face. This is related in Sahih Muslim. With a cheerful, smiling face. Brothers and sisters, I want you to reflect. I don't want to put words in your ears. I want you to reflect about how you deal with your Muslim brother and sister. Maybe in this room you have something to do with someone else and you don't like it. And you're all angry around that person. I ask you to smile. I ask you to take away the social constipation that is in the mosque these days. These angry faces, they need to change, they need to become smiling faces so we can resolve our issues. Because who is causing these? It's not you, it's not me, it's shaitan. And mind you, I'm reminding myself first, I'm the first to blame. Then you come second. The second reason that I can think of is our heedlessness, which basically means our ghafla in Arabic, that's how it's translated. Is the proliferation of major sins. Our worldview has changed in such a way that it's turned upside down. Major sins we view as small things. Lying, cheating, it's a small thing. Minor sins, we think they're really huge and they're egregious errors. But it's not the case. Major sins are a big deal. And I am talking about things that happen every day. I'm talking about dishonesty, deception, lying frequently, disrespecting our parents. These are things that happen every day, and they are among the major sins. I want you to reflect and think about, when was the last time you did one of these things? Maybe you told, what they say, a white lie. You don't have these concepts, white lie. We don't have a white lie, we just have lies. You don't lie under many circumstances. With regards to honesty and lying, the Blessed Messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah have for this peace and blessings upon him. He came to deliver the message to humankind. His station is higher than anyone else. Even before he was given prophethood, his station was so high that he was known among the people as As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the most truthful and the most trustworthy. Even before he was a prophet. Such that even after he became Muslim, once when he was doing the blessed Hijrah, the journey, the migration to Medina, he left his companion Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, he left him in charge of some goods that were trust, and he predicted, he knew that someone would come to take the life of the Messenger of Allah. And he left Ali in charge to give him back his goods. This is the trust. We are Ummat of Muhammad. We are the family, we are the community of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we see dishonesty, we should really get rid of it. I don't need to quote to you ayahs and hadith. This is enough. It's enough evidence that we don't need any more dishonesty, any more cheating, any more lies. Now I ask myself first, I remind myself first, then everyone else. With regards to businesses, Allah reveals in chapter number 88, Al-Mutaffifin, the first ayah says, woe be to those that are fraudulent, or fraudulent. Those that are engaged in fraud. And it goes on to say that when they take full measure. But when they give short measure. How many times have you gone to a business where people do this, but they might not be Muslim? We shouldn't be okay with that. We should remind ourselves that this is our spirituality. It's all intertwined. When we are dishonest, we're putting black dots on our heart until it becomes a big black hole. And we wonder why we're unhappy, why we have problems in our community. Disobeying our parents, disrespecting our parents, makes it to the top 10 list, unfortunately, of major sins. In Imam al-Dhahabi's book, The Major Sins, he lists about 70 major sins, and disrespecting our parents is number 8. You all know the verse in the Holy Quran, which is in chapter 17, I believe, Surah Al-Isra, which is the night journey. Allah says, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him and that you be... Your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him. And that you are respectful to parents, even if one or both of them have attained old age. You do not utter any words of disrespect to them, but you say good things to them. And you lower the wing of mercy to them. And you say, you pray to Allah, O Allah, have mercy on them, as they raised me when I was a child. O Allah, have mercy on our parents. My brothers and sisters, Allah says in the chapter of Najm, the star, ayah number 32, Allah says, those that avoid the major sins, indeed Allah is vast in forgiveness. We need to take care of ourselves, take care of our spirituality. We should remember the angels on our sides, writing down things. If you avoid the major sins, Allah is almost guaranteeing you heaven. The third thing I can think of, I'd like to highlight our remembrance of the Day of Judgment, or lack thereof. Or rather, our remembrance of death, or lack thereof. Not just remembering, but actually reflecting on death. We can remember death, we have to sit and think about what the moments of death will bring about. And the surah you'd like to go to, if you open up your copy of the Qur'an, would be Surah Qaf, chapter number 50. Allah says in the Qur'an, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We certainly created mankind, and we know what whispers he has, what shaitan whispers to him. And certainly we are closer to him than his jugular vein. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٌ. When the two receivers receive, the angels on the right and the left, with scrolls, with all your deeds. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not a word is uttered unless it's written down. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. And the intoxication of death comes. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. This is what you were fearing your whole life. This is what we were fearing our whole life. And why were we fearing this? Because we were so engrossed in this dunya. We were so engrossed in compiling and accumulating this wealth and these riches, because we thought this would give us happiness. From our cars to our houses to our iPods to MacBooks to what else? And why is this important? Apart from the fact that this is talking about your future, whether you go to Jannah or you go to Jahannam, it's important on a social level too, because when you start only care about yourself, you stop caring about others. I would like to draw an example. When your beloved Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went on the night journey and he ascended to the heavens and he met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have stayed there. Imagine seeing the beautiful face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, make us among those. He could have stayed, but he came down. Yes? Why? Because this was his message. He wanted to spread it. Such a comfortable place living in heaven. But he recognized what it was that he had to do. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, remember more often this destroyer of pleasures. And he meant by that death. I say this and I seek forgiveness from Allah for you and me and the entire Muslim Ummah for all our misdeeds and our misactions and our mistakes. I urge you to seek forgiveness from him, for he is all forgiving. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. All praise is due to Allah. Certainly He is the Master of heaven and the earth. We talked about these three things that can contribute to the decay of a society, of a community. We can come up with lists. If I ask one of you, you will come up with your list of how to rectify these. But this is what I compiled. It is my humble opinion. I'm not very, good at these things. But what I thought would be beneficial, the first one, how to rectify this, would be to increase our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase our dhikr. And by that, I mean reading more Qur'an, performing our prayers regularly, and making voluntary dhikr, tasbih and tahmeed. Brothers and sisters, even if you don't know the Arabic, don't let language be a barrier. You're losing out on the spirituality, this immense corpus of spirituality. You're losing out on it. Read the English. I want you to go back home and find yourself a good English translation. And read it. It's not lost in translation. The beauty of the Qur'an is intact. Because the Qur'an is a universal message. It's a universal message. A brother from Bosnia understands Islam the same way a brother in India does. Because our spirituality is universal. So go pick up your copy of the Qur'an. Increase your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Qur'an, verily with the remembrance of Allah do hearts find ease. And we accept this to be true. Anything that comes in the Qur'an, we accept it to be true. Absolute truth. We cannot argue about it. So we know that the Qur'an will give us ease. With remembrance of Allah, we do this through the Qur'an. And salah and dhikr. And we cannot get it through Lady Gaga and Drake or something else like that. We cannot find pleasure in these things. And we should understand the prophetic wisdom when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, small consistent actions are better than large, disjointed, infrequent actions. Read a page a week. Don't reach 20 pages in one day and forget about it for the rest of the week. Read one page a week. It's very small to ask. Reach 10 verses a week and increase on that. The second thing I can think about is our problem, our resolution to find a middle ground in everything. The religion has been made to be easy on us. If you're making it difficult, more difficult than it is, then it's oppression. And Muslims and Islam is not a state of being, it rather is a state of becoming, and nobody really becomes, it's always evolving. And we can either be too lax or too strict. We have to find the middle ground. And in finding the middle ground, we have to be supportive of each other. When we start being judgmental towards each other, we can never be supportive. We start calling each other names, pointing fingers. This will never work. As the Prophet ﷺ, may Allah be pleased with him, once said that the relationship of a brother with another brother, or a sister with another sister too, is like the bricks of a building, each strengthening each other. And he did this with his hands. Like bricks of a building. Are we embodying the spirit or not? That's a question you need to ask yourself, and what you can do about it. Anas radiallahu anhu once reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, "None of you shall become a true believer until he desires for his brother what he desires for himself." What do you desire, my dear brothers and sisters? You desire a good family, a good house, a good spouse, a good education, a good job, a good car. And in the end, you do desire a paradise, I'm hoping. You need to desire all those things for your brother as well. And this is not should not be falling on flat and deaf ears. I remind myself first, and then I remind you. The third thing that I'd like to point out is reflection upon the beauty of Allah's creation. You know, brothers and sisters, when I'm on campus, people come and ask me, how do you believe all this? How do you believe that there is one God and you don't see Him? So I tell them, that's not it. That's not just it. I believe in a lot of things I cannot never prove, but it's faith. It's beautiful. Can you imagining an angel on your left and your right? One in front of you, one behind you. You don't need to butter up your religion. Your religion is beautiful as it is. Your tawheed is beautiful as it is. This favor of having Islam for us is so great, my dear brothers and sisters. We can never, no matter how much we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will never be enough. Alas, even for any action, no matter how much we praise Allah, it'll never be enough. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that Allah will cover the sins, the defects of one person on the Day of Judgment, that person who covered the faults and the sins of his fellow Muslim in this life. What is our attitude? Are we looking for the next big scandal in the Muslim community? Are we looking for the next big gossiping thing to talk about? Or are we thinking about covering the sins for our brothers? So they may develop a healthy relationship with Islam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it, my dear brothers and sisters. I remind myself first. Truly, I remind myself first, and I remind you. The third thing is reflecting on the beauty. And I ask you, even if this is the only prayer you pray, let's face it, not all of us do 5 obligatory prayers, even though it's wajib, and it's one of the major sins to miss it. Even if we don't, make this prayer count. Make this prayer count, even if this is the only prayer that you do in the week. Even if this is the first time you've come to the mosque, make this count. My dear brothers and sisters, we are facing a world full of distractions. You know, we have these eyes, these ears, this mouth, this nose. We smell things, we hear things, we see things that we cannot filter out sometimes. Imam al-Ghazali, who was an 11th century scholar, he had a parable about the lake. And he mentioned that our reaction to the world is like a muddy lake, which is not clear. You cannot see anything in it. All you see is dirt. This is the reality of our minds. We take in all these things. But when we start filtering them out, when we stop listening to certain things, when we stop seeing certain things, when we stop saying certain things, the lake becomes clear, and the dirtiness becomes sediment. And what does the lake do when it's clear? It reflects the light of the heaven. It's a mirror. Imam al-Ghazali said, the soul is a mirror. It should reflect the light of the heaven. It should reflect the best qualities that we have been taught by our Master Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and those that follow him till the end of day. My dear Muslims, brothers and sisters, I was told to remind you about the condition of the Muslims in the world, in Syria, particularly. Make dua for them, they're having a very tough time. And also, I was told to remind you about an upcoming event, a panel that will take place between the Council of American Islamic Relations in St. Louis and the representative who proposed a bill to ban international law, which includes Sharia law. This panel will take place, I think, next Monday. and it'll be in Colombia. I think more information will be in the announcements. Anything good that I've said is from Allah. Anything bad is from the shaitan, the evil of my nafs. I ask you to forgive me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه. Oh Allah, send your peace and blessings upon Muhammad and his family and his companions and those that follow him until the end of time. Oh Allah, forgive us of our sins. Make us a healthy community. Make us a community of thought and contemplation. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Allah commands justice, the doing of good and giving to relatives, and forbids immorality and bad conduct and oppression. He admonishes you so that you may be reminded. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. So remember Allah so that He may remember you, and supplicate to Him so that He may answer your prayers. And remember, and the remembrance of Allah is indeed the greatest remembrance. Aqim as-salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the lines and fill in the gaps. Pray as though this is your last prayer. Extreme khushu'. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.